This is the third hour of the 9 till noon show. Our Wellness Wednesday spot in just a moment. Just want to go through one or two of your comments before we go to our guest. Roadworks at Termon Flat were left unsafe over the weekend. There was a brutal rough ramp pothole near the small bridge close to Termon Village. I went over it at speed at night as the ramp warning was less than 10 feet before the hole. Didn't have enough time to slow up in time. My shocks or tyres could have been badly damaged as a result of the awfully bad bump experienced. Please warn drivers to be careful. One mishap after another at Letterkenny University Hospital. Who's running it? And to me, a new set of management was sent in to listen to staff fears and patients' fears. It's ridiculous what's going on, so says a caller. Well done to the consultants who picked it up. Management never answered his calls. Makes you wonder what's going on. Only knows how many, God only knows, I think, how many other things need to be checked, so says a caller. So a pilot study is sacrificing the safety of people in the Twin Towns in favour of down the country. Really? Asks a caller. Just want to, before we go any further, ask to wish a very happy birthday to a very special girl who's 12 today, Alina Duff from Tullygay in Letterkenny. Lots of love, Alina, from mum and dad. Hope you have the very best day now. Let's go to our Wellness Wednesday spot. We're joined by Dr. Kate McCann, who is a physician and creator of the social media project MDoc Health. And we're working on an initiative called Walk with a Doc. No, I have not misread it. It's not walk with an animal with four legs and a tail. It's walk with a doc. Dr. Kate McCann, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, walk with a doc. It's an interesting concept. Tell us all about how this works.
Yeah, so Walk with a Doc was actually started in 2005 in the US by a cardiologist named Dr. Sabiger. And he realized that it's one thing as a doctor to tell patients, you know, you need to move more, but that you really need to do a little bit more than just have these 5-minute conversations in the clinic. So he started a program where he literally said to his patients, hey, why don't we all meet up, come walk with me, and let's talk. And he started that in 2005. It's grown since to be 500 chapters of doctors who go walking with patients around the world. And so the Irish chapter has been going since 2022, so just over, just coming on to 2 years now. And this last few months, I've been taking it around to a few different counties to introduce the concept to different groups of patients.
You're actually speaking about a live, real person who is taking part in the walk and conversing with the people that's there. This is not on headphones over an online Spotify program or something. This is actually real people.
Real people, yep. And the events are free. They're open to everybody. The one in Letterkenny coming up will be myself and a local GP registrar, Dr. Bonner. And the two of us will be leading the walk, and hopefully some other doctors will come down and join us. And we'll do a short 5-minute talk. The topic we're going to be talking about is staying active during the winter. A lot of people become less active during the winter because of a lot of real barriers, such as the cold and the dark and safety. We'll talk about staying active during the winter. And then the conversations we have with patients are all those important conversations that don't always happen in the clinical space that are really important for doing things like improving health literacy.
Now, obviously, some people may be looking at this as an opportunity to go and grab a quick word with a doctor without having to go to a surgery. And we know how difficult it can be to get appointments in some surgeries at the moment. I mean, this isn't a matter of me going to this and speaking to you or to Dr. Bonner about this problem I've been having with whatever part of my anatomy. This is something different.
It is something different. So, yeah, no, we can't enter a doctor-patient relationship with you and diagnose or prescribe. That is one role doctors have. This is when we're stepping into our other role as a doctor. The doctor that, because of those shortages, we are increasingly not able to do with patients. And that's health promotion. That's where we're just giving general health advice and answering general health questions that relate to health literacy. You know, these simple questions like, doctor, I haven't had my blood pressure checked by my GP in 2 years. Should I do that? I think the answer is going to be yes. But these reassurances to patients and promoting health and giving them guidance about where to get more resources are really important conversations that are missing in the clinical setting at the moment.
So the idea is that people will gather at the Burnham and Lynchy Town Park in Letterkenny. It's taking place on Sunday, the 12th of November. You and Dr. Bona will effectively address the gathering on the importance of winter health and so on and so forth, and then people go for a walk.
We go for a walk. We're going to keep the talk really short. 5 minutes. That's the model. It's going to be pretty short. Few key points. And then the whole point is to move. Now people can go at their own pace. We picked a flat, well-paved terrain, and people of all ages are available. You go at your own pace. And generally speaking, we try to do it in a loop. So people who are faster and slower is a little bit of mingling and keeps safe and social.
Oh, well, it's a perfect track for that then. The track in that park is absolutely perfect. There's a very slight incline at one point, all right, but it isn't a steep gradient by any manner of means, but no, you'll get a good stroll. And by my own measurements, it's exactly 500 metres. The actual length of that track. So, I mean, two laps is a kilometre.
Excellent. Now, I'm actually walking it in person for the first time on the 11th of November. I'm going up the day before. I've taken Dr. Bonner's local to the area, so she knows the area well, and I've taken her recommendations on picking a place for the walk.
Oh, no, she has chosen well. She has, as the film says, she has chosen wisely. In terms of and as you say, I suppose because GPs are under so much pressure in their surgeries, that the health promotion issue is an important one. And presumably then that's one of the factors that sparked off this whole concept, was to give GPs a space within which they could move more into that sort of health promotion area, because the surgery now is, and I presume it's the same worldwide, that surgeries are now so busy that people are in, I need advice, I need a prescription, boom, 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 in, out, because there's 30 more people sitting outside waiting. So it does provide this new space whereby the health promotion element can be addressed properly.
It is, and I like to highlight that it's not just GPs. I'm not a GP, and the person who founded Walk with the Doc was a cardiologist. So these pressures are also in specialist clinics as well. And this is where we end up with a number of problems of where we're dealing with problems after they've arisen, rather than maybe heading them off before they occur.
Yourself and Dr. Amara Bonner will be doing this. It's on Sunday the 12th of November at 11 a.m. People are welcome to join you. It's going to be an encouraging rather than a cajoling walk. You're not going to be pushed to go faster, go faster, go faster. Come on, push it, push it, push it, push it, push it. This is going to be very much, you're doing grand, you're doing fine, keep it up.
Absolutely. In fact, a lot of times in consultations with patients, I usually reassure them that, you know, you don't need to push yourself to you're out of breath or in pain to get the benefits of physical activity. Doing things at what we call moderate intensity, where you can still have a comfortable conversation with the person next to you, absolutely all you need to do is to look after all those benefits of walking. So 100 reasons to walk, from heart health, lung health, from mental health. So for all those benefits, you don't need to be suffering with the benefits of physical activity.
And how long does the walk take?
We'll be down there for usually around 30 minutes. However, we'll hang out down there as long as people want to keep walking. You know, we'll be down there. I'll hang out there for at least an hour if that's people want to take their own pace or do a few laps.
And walkwithadoc.org is the website that will explain to people, give them a bit more perspective on what's actually happening there.
Absolutely. You can check out walkwithadoc.org. That's the international website. It gives a history. And if you want more details on the Irish information, I have it on my blog.
And that's Dr. Kate McCann. Kate, thanks very much indeed for speaking to us this morning. It sounds a really interesting one, and I'm sure you'll get a really good crowd there at 11 o'clock on Sunday week. So that's Sunday the, checking his date really, really quickly, it's the 12th of November. Just a few of your comments. Caller says, why would people change to electric cars with the price being charged in this country? Another caller says, are we all away mad? Bottom line is, the problem in many people in Ireland is lock the gates and send them home. The problem with overcrowding in hospitals is the same with hotels, overcrowding on the roads. Give Ireland back to the Irish and we will manage the best. That's the perspective of a caller. If Donegal County Council's planning department approved planning permission for builds on a floodplain, how can we have any confidence in them to make planning decisions which will not result in homes being flooded in the future? It seems incredible that it takes on board Planola to keep us safe, so says a caller. I think that's a reference to comments Councillor Martin Harney made earlier. Went to Derry last night, as I have been doing for years. The festival itself was fantastic. The car park nearest the foyle itself, we got our tickets just before nine, exited the car park more than 90 minutes later. There were people around us with newborn babies, no formula. We discussed this situation earlier, actually, and had a basically, we had a response from the Foyleside Shopping Centre, which told us that basically the situation was that there was gridlock in the city centre and nothing moved for about an hour and a half. And this caller says, look, I feel very sorry for the organisers of the festival, as those who were stuck in that parking situation last night will think very hard before they return. I can absolutely understand that. Now, yesterday was Halloween. We've had two individual texts. One says, I'm not from Carn. I'm from Carn. I don't live there. But last night, Halloween, people were throwing bricks at cars. One car had a window broken. Then they proceeded to set the diamond alight and break ceramic flower pots at the chapel that were there for years. Then on another road, by Malland, there was lighting going on there. It's Halloween trick or treat, but we should not be attacking people and property. Another caller saying, we had a fire lit in the middle of the town close to shops. How anyone would think this funny is beyond me. And that, again, is from a caller in Carndonagh. So I was joined this morning by Deirdre Bradley, who's the chair of Carndonagh Traders, and we spoke to Deirdre not that long ago on the programme in a different context. Deirdre, sadly, the context we're speaking today is a slightly more serious one.
Hello, Donal. How are you? Yes, unfortunately, it's nothing to be proud of, and it's very embarrassing, and I just can't understand the thinking behind it. There's a lot of damage done to the town. There was a lot of people. I actually was talking to someone today who had visitors drive through the town last night to go to her Airbnb, and it was very terrifying. They had left Derry all buzzed up, had a lovely, lovely evening, and got to Carndonagh, and it was like a war zone. There was pallets and bins on fire. Now, I didn't see this myself. I'm only watching footage. But I see the damage when I came to open my own business this morning. The debris outside the shop was like fireworks coming up, and through the car park was a mess. Bricks pulled out of a lady's hedging, all scattered through the walkway, the pedestrian walkway into the town. There was bins damaged. As you said, there was pots that have been up at the church for many years. Haven't seen it myself, but I've heard about it. And I mean, the videos I saw, there was like loads of children. But I want to say this now, and everybody say, where was the guards and where was the guards? The guards could not handle it. There were so many guards here. There was a paddy wagon. There was three or four patrol cars. There was unmarked guards. And they just were so determined to do so much damage. They were pulling them in a different direction. I got a video today of them turning over a transit van. I mean, there was a whole pile of them. Now, is there any need for that destruction? And where does the parents think that these children are going? I've seen the videos of them. Balaclavas on, petrol bombs, like bottles with petrol and the fabric hanging out of them. It was very frightening, and I was only watching it. So imagine our residents here in the town that are elderly. There's not that many, but there is a few. And the guards were trying to catch them, and the language in some of the videos is horrendous.
And as you say, these are very young people. In many cases, children is the correct word for it.
Yeah, well, I mean, from some of the videos I've seen, I would say 14, 15 and around, maybe, and around that age, might have been younger. You know, I mean, parents were dropping them off in the town all evening. Where did they think they were going? And like, jumping into cars with balaclavas on them, I mean, they weren't coming from saying their prayers, running down from the chapel's gateway. I just think, you know what, the guards, and everybody's blamed. The guards were here. So that was resources taken up that may have been needed somewhere else. Fire brigades were here to put out fires. May have been needed someone else. The council had to come out through the night and clean up the mess. I mean, I take my hat off. And as a chairperson of the Traders Association, I have to say, this is no one's fault, but unruly children that were just think it gives them a God-given right on Halloween night to terrorise and vandalise. Business people like myself and all around the town that are constantly painting and cleaning and putting up plants and to make sure that when visitors come into the town that it's a nice, warm welcome. Now, anybody coming through that town last night would have thought, Mother of Divine, where have we been landed? Just disgraceful, absolutely. Burning wheelie bins. I mean, the amount of businesses that have lost their wheelie bins, they're going to have to recoup. They're going to have to buy new bins. There was a bar in town, I don't know about how many they lost. And I mean, watching the videos and the language, like, I will petrol bomb your house, you know, this kind of thing. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And I think that from the footage, and it should be made public, although we don't want to say that, oh my God, don't come to Cardona, it's like a mad place altogether. I mean, that car that got the window put in last night, there was a brand new baby in that car. And it doesn't matter if there was a 70-year-old or brand new baby, but you should be able to drive through your own town and not have your car vandalised. And I do think parents need to start asking questions. Were you in that crowd last night? And watch the videos and see if they are. And they do need to be reprimanded. We don't want this happening again. Like, we were all forewarned last night, but just because it was Halloween, put down your shutter and all. Like, there was a firework came down from the chapel entrance that got stuck in my shutter. Now, if I hadn't had my shutter down. And I mean, the fire was only just across the road from me. I could have had smoke damage this morning. And I'm not just on here to talk about me. I'm on about people that wouldn't feel safe to come into the town and thinking maybe tonight, well, no, I'll not bother because the Cairn's awful rough. It's not. It was one night incident. But I just wanted to say that, you know, the guards were there last night. There was a big presence of them, but there was just so many. So many.
Have there been issues on previous Halloweens, or is this an aberration? Is this a once-off?
Years ago, there used to be a bit in one area in the town, and it would be throwing of apples and there'd be throwing of eggs. But this, and there might have been a few wee smaller incidents, but this was horrendous. I mean, this was frightening. I mean, there was a bonfire, the whole street in front of the shop, and just looking out at here, all this, like, there's burnt holes in the street. And I mean, when I was watching the videos last night, you could see all the youngsters running around. And like the language, their aggression, their determination to cause damage was just unbelievable. I was shocked now. I was shocked. But as I say, I didn't see it firsthand. I'm only getting it from people who sent me videos and different things like that, because they were worried that the shops and businesses would have been damaged, windows would have been cracked, you know.
As you said, Gardaí were there. I mean, you'd be hopeful, I'm sure,
that
if Gardaí identified any of them, or if Gardaí knows who any of these young people were, that perhaps they'll be going and having words with their parents over the coming days.
Yeah, and I hope so. And I would appeal to parents to sit your kids down if they were out last night and say, were you involved in this? You know, what were you at? Because this is only the start of their journey. And if they get away with doing this on a Halloween night and think it was great crack and sure it was best of fun and we damaged a van and we broke pots at the church and we lit a fire and, you know, and we scared a few people, what will be the next thing that they would be wanting to do? So it needs to be nipped in the bud very, very fast. But, I mean, a lot of people say, oh, no guards around, none of this, none. But there was nothing more they could have. My husband even rang the guards last night and he says, look, we have three patrol cars extra coming and we have this happening and, you know, but the crowds of them, it was very intimidating now just watching us. So I wouldn't like to have been a resident here in town last night. I'm sure it was very frightening, wondering was it going to be burned out or was it going to be? And I mean, these are children. They're not adults. These are children.
Yeah,
you know, they mightn't be 10-year-olds, but they're children.
Yeah. The sad thing is the last conversation we had was when the card was being launched and we were speaking about the community spirit in Carn and how Carn pulls together mm-hmm. as a town and as a community. And this is the direct opposite of that. And it's sad to see this. But as you say, hopefully a conversation will be had in the coming days at family level. And those conversations mm-hmm. will ensure that this doesn't happen again.
Yeah, and I would appeal to parents. I'm a parent myself, and I haven't raised four angels. I know that. But sit down with your kids tonight at the tea table and ask them, where were they last night? What were they doing? Because do you really want that for your child? Do you want that? Do you want the next step that the guard's going to fall into your street to say that they've damaged a car, or wrecked a car? Because do you know what? Everybody's struggling financially as it is. And like even businesses, to go and get bins again and to go and start over again. And that's, you know, but it's just the thought that our youngsters coming up in this locality, and that's what they think of the work that all of us have done to put Carn in a better place, making it more pretty, more accessible, that people are going to enjoy it, feel safe here. I mean, you're supposed to feel safe in your own community. And I would say anybody last night that went through the town were definitely not feeling very safe.
Deirdre, thanks for speaking to us this morning. And
as
we said, Gardaí were there, they're looking
into
it. And yeah, and hopefully we'll get some resolutions.
Yeah, and I want people to realise that the guards were here, they were doing their job, the firemen were doing their job, council did an amazing job on a clean-up so that we didn't have to open our doors tomorrow to that mess. So I just want to thank them on behalf of the Traders Association for everything that they did do. But I think the conversations need to be had this evening.
Yeah, well, we're getting messages in. Caller says, I witnessed students in another town setting off fireworks at cars in a car park behind a library in broad daylight. They just looked at me and laughed. Another caller says, it's so sickening to hear this. I'm from Clonmany myself, but Carn has done such a lot to make the town so beautiful. To see this happening is terrible. A fire was lit last night at the railway bridge in Killigordon. It's pure and simple antisocial behaviour. Again, caller asking where are the parents. Another caller again, the same thing happened last night in Killigordon, and it's been getting worse every year, so it's not limited to Carn, sadly. Deirdre, thanks indeed for speaking to us today.
Not at all, Donal. Have a good day. Thanks very much.
You too, Deirdre. That's Deirdre Bradley, the chair of Carn Donegal Traders. Just a few comments and perspectives before we go to a break, and business matters, of course, coming up very shortly because it is a Wednesday morning. Last October, a caller says, this is an email we got. I fell downstairs and landed awkwardly. Within 2 days, I had to give in and get an x-ray. I was told I'd pull muscles on the rotator cuff. I was told to take pain relief. I was still working as a home care assistant. Pain was unreal with mobility minimal. I was due to fly to Australia in November. I couldn't take sick and annual leave in a short space of time. My shoulder did click whilst at work and it freed up a little with a pop and pain. I went to Australia on a holiday. First stop a chiropractor to discover my shoulder was dislocated. Letterkenny Hospital have sent me a bill for €100 for the x-ray, which I didn't pay as my doctor had emailed my details to the emergency department. They said they had no record of this, but now it's been passed on to a debt collection agency. The pain I was in due to the fall, but how was the dislocation missed in the x-ray? How can this happen? Should I make a written complaint or am I just wasting my time? So asks the caller. Now, I think you are, if you feel that you are not being treated properly, absolutely, you should make that known. And if there is a complaints process, as I understand it, at the hospital, and yes, absolutely, if you think the hospital isn't treating you properly, yes, you should bring it to their attention. Caller says, Leo and the boys heading off on yet another annual junket. Another caller says, I'm so angry this evening. Figures released by the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation have shown a notable decrease in overcrowding numbers at Letterkenny University Hospital in October. What an absolutely ridiculous statement to issue. Anyone who lives in Donegal knows the figures they publish are not reflective of the real situation in the hospital. Why in this world would GPs and consultants be writing to the Minister for Health if the figures were down? Can anyone ask the INMO to explain this? And the regards from a caller who sat in the emergency department for 36 hours, surrounded by an overfull waiting room waiting to be seen. There have always been issues with the numbers on trolleys in the emergency department go up and down every year. And Letterkenny Hospital's figures this year are not as bad as they were last year. That's been consistent every month. That's not to say it's not happening. And there has, I cannot think when there was last a day when there weren't people waiting on trolleys in the emergency department at Letterkenny University Hospital. The other issue is those figures that are produced, they're not the figures for people who are waiting in the emergency department to be seen. They are the figures for people who have been seen, assessed, admitted to the hospital, but there is no bed for them to go into. So the INMO figures, in fairness, this does have to be said, the INMO figures are not the figures for the numbers of people waiting in the emergency department to be seen. Those figures are people who have been seen, who have been admitted to the hospital, but they are without a bed. They're the figures that INMO are publishing. So it's not to say the situation you were in, caller, you would not have been included in those figures, because the INMO figures, as I say, are admitted patients. They're admitted to the hospital. They need a hospital bed, and there is no bed in the hospital for them. They are the figures that the INMO are publishing. It's the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. It's 24 minutes to 12 noon. It's a Wednesday morning, and that means it's time for this.
Business Matters, in association with the Faculty of Business at ATU Donegal. For a career in financial governance, consider the Level 9 MA in Governance and IT in Financial Services, starting in January. Contact the Exec Ed Coordinator on 91 86206, or email donald.hannigan@atu.ie today.
Well, it's all change on Business Matters this morning because we have a new presenter. Chris Ashmore, good morning.
Good morning, Donal.
Chris is the new presenter of Business Matters. Chris, it's been a busy few days for you getting this one together. And we're starting off this morning with some really interesting news from IDEA Ireland.
Yes, indeed. IDEA Ireland has been given planning permission, subject to a number of conditions, for the construction of a new advanced technology unit for use as offices or manufacturing purposes at the IDEA Business and Technological Park here in Letterkenny. Now, the new building, they used to call them advanced factories years ago. The plans are to construct it in a field which is just below the CETA building, which people may know on the Business Park Road and opposite the Tata premises. So it's in that new area that's been developed. And many will see this as a real vote of confidence in Letterkenny. Construction likely to start next year, but it'll mean that when they're trying to attract in new investors, that there will be a building there that can be tweaked and used for whatever purposes required. So that's a very positive bit of news.
And of course, that Tata premises is what would have been the Primerica building, that big one.
Yes.
The blue one, yeah. That's there. So yeah, that's really good to see. Because that is a buzzing area. I mean, between, you've got CETA, you've got Tata, you've got the one, is it Omni Belt, it's called, or something, the one just below it.
Yeah, it used to be Kirschkopf or something. Yeah, that's right.
There's a lot happening. Because for years they just had three plots and there was very little happening in there. So no, it's really good to see that area really pick up. New home plans as well, some housing developments planned for the wider Letterkenny area.
Yeah, now if we cast our mind back to the Celtic Tiger era, and there seem to be houses and apartments going up left, right and centre, not too much building activity in recent times, but plans are in the pipeline for a new development in the Ardaroar and Kiltoy area of Letterkenny. CR Renaissance Properties Limited is looking to develop 8 three-storey duplex units, which would each have 4 apartments as such. And what is known as a pre-validation planning application has been lodged. Essentially, this is the first step to see if the proposals tie in with criteria and local requirements. But might be a little bit down the road before it's actually built. But again, good to see development because, as we all know, there is a shortage of housing in Letterkenny and throughout Donegal.
Absolutely. IT literacy is hugely important, and an interesting development coming on stream with the Library Service and the Donegal ETB.
Yes, they're joining forces to deliver what is essentially digital hubs in libraries. So if you want to know how to use a laptop or a tablet, or maybe you need help with school apps or your mobile phone or filling in online forms, well, your local library could now be the place to go and find out how to do this. In essence, the Digital Hub is a free service, and you can receive support for your digital needs. Now, initially, it's going to be at a number of libraries for about a 6-week period on Tuesdays in the Central Library in Letterkenny from 2 to 5. That will start from the 7th of November. On Thursdays in the Donegal Town Central Library from 2 to 4, from the 9th of November, and also from the 9th of November in Carndonagh Library on Thursdays from 2 to 4 o'clock. So it's a free service, and you don't need to book. You can just go along. Feel free to bring along a laptop or a phone or anything, and there'll be a tutor there to help you out. So that's a great initiative, and hopefully it'll lead to further developments in the future.
Absolutely. Artificial intelligence. And I just see, I think Collins Dictionary has now named it their word of the year, AI, artificial intelligence. And Letterkenny Chamber and Donegal Women in Business are now looking into artificial intelligence and how it can be utilised.
Yes, this is going to be huge. Already is huge. And they're holding an event to help business owners understand the tools, prompts and examples of artificial intelligence. And of course, this can all help drive business growth. The event is called Marketing Artificial Intelligence and You Supercharge Your Small Business. And it'll focus mainly on the areas of marketing and communication, while maintaining the essence of real human connection. Now, there's going to be a number of guest speakers. There'll be a panel of local small business owners there who'll share their experiences and provide invaluable advice. And it'll all take place at the Silver Tassie Hotel. And that's on November the 22nd from 7 to 9pm. The event is free for members of the Donegal Women in Business Network and Letterkenny Chamber members and non-members. It's €20. As you say, Donal, mm-hmm. it's like years ago when the word app sort of first yeah. surfaced, you know, people were wondering what it was. You can hardly turn on your radio or television now without hearing about AI and even just simple things, people can do it themselves on their laptop and put it into chat and Bing and things. And it's unbelievable what comes up.
Yeah, and we're told our jobs are going to be overtaken by ChatGPT within a couple of years as well, which I don't believe for a moment is going to happen. I don't think so, no. I think we still need that human touch. We still need that personality. And, you know, artificial intelligence, it's great for it. And I think really what this is, it's a matter of utilising the benefits of artificial intelligence without losing the human touch. It's good to see that they actually do say here that maintaining the essence of a real human connection is important. And it is. I mean, you know, a computer can never replace a person.
No,
it can hugely help, and let's face it, our jobs could change utterly when I look at the technology that we use in the job here on Highland. I mean, the technology is utterly different to what it was when I started here, because back then we were just sort of using sticks and stones. but I mean, you know, there will always be the need for that human touch as well, and it's finding that balance between the two. Let's talk about the podcast, because you'll be launching your maiden podcast this week, and a very interesting first guest.
Yes, my guest this week is Sarah Marie McDevitt from Annagree, who runs the Pine Hill Studios in Letterkenny. Her business dates back to 2013, when she began her journey to bring what she terms fun fitness to Letterkenny. And since then, there's been a range of classes, with hip-hop proving to be particularly popular, a lot of dance-related classes, and what was once a warehouse at the premises at the Pine Hill Business Park at the Mountaintop has been developed from 2 studios to 5 in a bright, modern atmosphere. And it's also become a hub for independent operators as well, and this all helps have everything under the one roof. Sarah Marie began with adult classes and soon found great reaction to the hip-hop classes for children, and they really have gone from strength to strength, and there have been lots of awards won. And one of the things we looked at, branding, colours and graphics are important in her business, and as a fluent Irish speaker, she's also keen to promote Irish in her studios.
Branding is very important, and we do a lot of work with Leanware Letterkenny as well. So we bring, obviously, with me coming from a Gaeltacht area and being fluent in Irish, it's very important for me to bring the Irish element into the studio as well. So we have named our studios with, they're all as Gaeilge, and we include Irish words throughout all our classes to bring couple of focal, go Letterkenny.
And the full interview with Sarah Marie McDevitt is available to download now at highlandradio.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Business Matters goes out on air on Sunday evening after the 6 o'clock news. And if you'd like to get in touch with the programme, you can drop an email to me at businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Excellent, Chris. Thank you very much indeed. A great start, as the man said. And it'll be, as we say, it's online now. So you can listen to the programme with ceremony on our website, highlandradio.com. And if you'd like to listen to it on air, you can do so on Sunday evening after the news at 6. Chris, thanks very much indeed.
Thank you.
This is the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. Donal Kavanagh with you for the next 14 minutes or thereabouts. Now, I want to go to Mary T. Sweeney, who chairs the Letterkenny Hospital Campaign Group. Mary T. is on line one. Mary, good morning.
Good morning, Donald. You have to excuse me. I've had an awful dose for the laryngitis here. So.
Right. I won't keep you too long. But we've had a lot of discussion, obviously, about the hospital. We've had the letters from the GPs and the consultants in recent weeks. And we've had the latest revelation with regards to the radiology department. You believe now that it's imperative that Health Minister Stephen Donnelly come to Letterkenny and not only meet with hospitals and management and doctors, but meets with yourselves and with patients as well.
Of course, because we represent a cross-section of the community, both staff, previous staff and patients, and the general Donegal community. And for Mr. Gloucester, the HSE chief executive, to say he would deploy a performance management team is not good enough. We need confidence in the team that would come in. What happened to the Scottish team that were independent? I think the key word here is an independent team for the betterment of our hospital. For the and confidence in the community and the staff, we need people to stand up to external review by an external competent body to come in and tell us, okay, we think you need changes here, here and here to improve your hospital. But the worrying thing about yesterday's information coming out about the radiography, reading the x-rays, was who vetted this person coming in? How were they vetted? How many times has he worked in Letterkenny Hospital? Is this his first stint or were there previous stints where he did locum? So should there be other people identified as well that need to review their x-ray, their scan, their ultrasound? Because this could be ultimately terminal for somebody that has had a tumour or has had something significant that could affect their overall health. So we need more accountability and openness to know how long this person or has this person been allowed to now go and locum at other hospitals. We have to have a moral duty of care for patients to know that the department is going to follow through and identify the weaknesses and how this person ended up progressing to be a consultant in Letterkenny Hospital.
Well, perhaps you didn't hear, we had Professor Pat Ward, who's Celta's clinical director, on the programme in the previous hour. Now, he has told us that this particular locum was registered with and on the approved list of the Irish Medical Council, and that's where they actually got the contact, was through the Irish Medical Council. They had references which they checked. The locum was subsequently, as we know, that contract was terminated, and the hospital is going back to the Medical Council with its findings. So, as he said, it's the Medical Council who ultimately is responsible for vetting and registering these particular locums. So they got this locum through the Medical Council and they are reporting back to the Medical Council with regards to their review of the work that was done and the issues. And it'll be up to the Medical Council, he said, then to ensure that other hospitals are aware of the situation. So that's just that we to answer that one as best he could. That's the response we were given by Celta this morning.
But my point is a bigger point in the sense that the vetting process has failed. It has failed miserably. So how many other people have got through the system? We need to review the full vetting process and the agency that's been used. My understanding is that they use an external agency that are paid to vet. So the whole vetting process needs to be immediately reviewed to prevent other people getting through in the system. You know.
Yeah, and the Minister, we still haven't heard when Minister Donnelly will come to Donegal. He has said he will do so. You obviously want that to be sooner rather than later.
Well, we, at our meeting last night, we held an emergency meeting last night, but impacted by the events in Letterkenny Hospital, that this is a crisis, this is an emergency, and people need confidence in our hospital. And if the minister doesn't come, then we have no choice but in January, which is a year after the original street protest campaign, that we will go to Dublin and demand that the minister comes to Donegal. We have to do all we can to support the doctors, the nurses and the healthcare staff that are working, that are hard working in the hospital. And what is this not doing to their morale and their confidence?
Yeah.
It's terrible that they're being put through this on top of all the crisis with the overcrowding and the A&E and the lack of beds. You know, there's so many, like, you know, our doctors having to actually travel off site to go down to an outpatient facility away from the hospital. There are so many wrongs up there that need addressed. You know, we need our hospital on site, on campus, and the amount of money being spent on taxis, taking patients to go to outpatients, to go to clinics in St. Connell's. Management needs to review, revamp and restock and reassess the way it's been run. And on a local basis and on a national basis, we need to review policies and procedures to get the best hospital for the people of Donegal, I think. And that's what the message came out of our meeting last night.
And that's the message you'll
and
be
we will assist. We will assist the doctor. We're trying to currently write to the GPs, that the 80, I believe it's up to 89 GPs, and to the consultants. We're having a bit of difficulty with bounce back from the emails, the health service emails. So believe we have been writing to all the GPs to try and offer our support, to do whatever we can to support them if they want a day of action or if they want to go. We need to make sure the minister meets our doctors and our consultants and gives them proper reassurance and a proper external review to come in to identify their needs, that we can have a better hospital.
Mary T. Sweeney, thank you very much indeed for speaking to us this morning. And we will wait with interest to the minister's visit. And we look forward to speaking to yourself and to others once that happens. But in the meantime, look after that throat, Mary T., and have a great day.
Okay,
thank you.
Okie doke. Thank you.
That's Mary T. Sweeney there, who chairs the Letterkenny Hospital Campaign Group and is also, of course, Selta's representative in this area. Not Selta, excuse me, Aintu's representative in this area as well. Excuse that slip of the tongue. Just want to mention a few things before we go, and we're coming close to the end. The Letterkenny One Act Festival takes place in Ungradon Theatre over this coming weekend. It's on Friday the 3rd and Saturday the 4th and Sunday the 5th of November. Three plays per night. It's part of the national festival with nominations to the All-Ireland Finals. Admission is €12 nightly, or you can get tickets to all three nights for €25 through Ungradon Theatre. The first night we have plays from Leitrim, Sligo and Carlow. The second night plays from Cork, Antrim and Cork. And the third night it's Antrim, Clare and Wexford. And a variety of drama groups and plays being presented. More details, of course, on Ungradon Theatre's website. So the Letterkenny One Act Festival taking place this coming weekend. Caller expressing interest, and we've been speaking quite a bit about health at the moment over the past 2 days. Caller says, Letterkenny hospital crisis is now impacting directly on St. Joseph's Hospital in Stranorlar. Those people who are used to St. Joseph's are being sent to private nursing homes when it's their week for respite. This is unfair. People should not have to be farmed out to places they're not used to going just because there are issues in a hospital. St. Joseph's is now accepting over 65-year-olds from the overflow in Letterkenny. That's exactly what happened in New York during COVID when ill patients were brought into nursing homes. How many other contagious illnesses apart from COVID that can be dangerous to elderly people are potentially going to be transmitted? Can we make this a discussion? Stephen Donnelly, the minister, needs to become involved. And that's a call from a caller there who has a parent in St. Joseph's at the moment. Now, another comment. Raymond says Bolivia in South America has become the first country to break diplomatic relations with Israel over what's happening at the moment in Gaza. It's past time that Ireland did likewise and break diplomatic relations with Israel. Another caller says, why can't they make EVs 100% self-charging? It can be done, but not enforcement. Then we wouldn't need charging points. I guess it's all about money. I know you can certainly get self-charging hybrids. Whether you'll get a self-charge that will be able to, because the self-charging hybrids, they charge off the brake and the engine. If there is not an engine in the car, I'm not sure an EV can be 100% self-charging because the hybrids at the moment use the engine as well as the braking system. Certainly it would be very interesting if that could be done. I am someone in business. I saw this coming. The downturn in tourism, we discussed this with Councillor Martin Harley. These councillors are now crying about the downturn, yet they're the people who created the problem. There is a mathematical certainty that this downturn in tourism will happen, and our councillors are the people responsible for it happening, so claims a caller. There are commercial artificial intelligence products out there that are much more accurate in reading x-rays than any radiologist, so why is LUH not using artificial intelligence? So asks a caller. And good morning. Tell that man it takes 50 years for windmills to pay for themselves, so we won't be seeing cheap energy anytime soon. Windmills kill whales, and on offshore windmills kill whales, onshore they kill birds. Aren't we supposed to be saving wildlife? That's the discussion we had on the energy conference. I think the point that was being made wasn't necessarily that energy is going to be cheap, it's that energy is going to be sustainable. Finally, we've had a caller asking, can you give a big shout out to all the businesses throughout the county who continue to sponsor activities in their locality. I was in Letterkenny yesterday for the Trick and Treat Trail. I'm proud to call it home. A list of businesses that were giving out treats that provided, and online shopping may well be handy, but you'd miss the human contact and the crack. Another caller saying, I was out shopping on Monday and a shop had two coffins and skeletons in them. As someone who just buried someone very close, I found it distasteful. Surely these shops should think better about their displays. And that's the end of the 9 till noon show for this morning. John Breslin is up next around the northwest. Thank you to Carolyn Orr for producing and for taking your calls. Thanks to all our contributors. Most importantly, thanks to you for listening. We're back tomorrow. In the meantime, have a very good day.